You are listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 217, 5 Marriage Tips. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of 7, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Hello, friends. How are you? Hope you are having a wonderful summer. Isn't summer dreamy? I love summertime. Anytime I'm warm, that's fantastic. Well, there's something very exciting coming up this weekend that you may not be aware of or not on your radar. It's my 23rd wedding anniversary. So congratulations to me and my husband. We were married July 15th, the year 2000, which was amazing because it is so easy to remember how many years you've been married when you got married in 2000. And so like, I always can tell you that number really quickly. I don't know about anybody else, but the older I get, I'm like, how old am I again? So it's super easy to have something of zeros so that I don't mess up too much. So to celebrate our anniversary, I thought it would be fun to do a podcast episode about marriage and different things with that. And just as my kids are getting older and we're talking about marriage, and I feel like because marriage isn't that far away now for some of my older children, it's been something that we have been talking about. So I was thinking about this with homeschooling, and it was interesting. So I had actually recorded this podcast on a different day. And then I saw a bunch of stuff on different homeschool Facebook groups and just different thoughts that I had come to me. And so I decided to record this again. And some of the things that came up, like I've said this part before, that homeschooling is a part-time gig, that eventually your kids do grow up. So yes, I'm still teaching my kids in their 20s, but I am not homeschooling them anymore. I am not in charge of their education. Two of my sons will be going to college this fall. So like I have passed that baton on to somebody else. And as far as just the homeschool part, I'm done. I'll always be their mom and I will always be teaching them. But homeschooling eventually ends. Kids eventually grow up. And how important it is to remember your marriage while you are raising your children, while you are homeschooling, and while you're doing all those things. So I had heard stories before of couples who they just kind of became roommates. And so they had their kids at home and like dad provided and mom was like 110% in with her kids and giving everything she could for her kids. Right. And just like super there and ready to help and take care of kids and did all these things. And then what happened as the kids grow up and move out, that there was no relationship with dad. And then people either get divorced or just have a really unhappy marriage and do their own thing. Right. And so I've known that for years. And so I've always tried to be very mindful of making sure that my relationship with my husband is a priority, even though like homeschool is a priority. But like I said, it's a part-time gig. So it was interesting as I was in, I'm in a ton of different homeschool Facebook groups, and it was so interesting that it came up about somebody going through a divorce and still trying to homeschool. And I don't know any advice with legal stuff with homeschooling and divorce and any of that stuff. So please contact your attorney. But it was shocking to me of how many people are getting divorced while in the middle of homeschooling. Now, I don't know any of these people's situations or what is going on. But that's really hard. And I don't like divorce. And as a kid who grew up in a family of divorced parents, right? Like that is something that I have tried to be very intentional with. Now you can't always control that, right? If there was abuse or something like that, I'm probably out, right? But most of the things, like I want to learn how to work through them with my husband. Now, that being said, our marriage is not perfect and no marriage is. So even though like you see a post if we're on a trip or a post of a date night or something fun like that, you don't see like Instagram's tricky because like I can't really go to my husband while he's working and like, here he is working and I'm doing my own thing, right? So sometimes we see the Instagram version of people's marriages and we assume their marriage is perfect and that they never have any issues, they never argue, disagree, or anything like that. And I don't know if there's a marriage that where both of you agree 100%. What I do know is that you can get to a place where you can disagree and be respectful to each other. You can get to that space, but just also knowing that you're not always going to be happy all the time, just like in motherhood. Sometimes it's magical and sometimes it's like, all right, I'm getting through this day. Sometimes homeschool is dreamy and so fun. And sometimes it's like, holy cow, that was a crap show. I don't know why you would think marriage would be any different. Of like, it's supposed to be dreamy and magical all the time. And if it's not, we're doing something wrong. Like, no, it's everything. It is dreamy and magical. And sometimes your roommates, and sometimes you're like, I'm going to hold my ground on this and you cannot change my mind. Right. So like there's stubbornness, there's all the things, there's everything that come with it, disagreeing, all of that stuff, but learning how to disagree in a way that doesn't drive a wedge between you, but actually keeps you closer. So when I was thinking of this podcast episode, when I was writing it, I was thinking about like at first it's kind of started like fun five tips to have the successful marriage, right? And you get to define what success is and what a successful marriage looks like to you. So nobody else can define that for you. So your successful marriage may look very different from somebody else's. So just like five tips in marriage, and is what it's was starting out with, but just knowing like, this is not a all-inclusive list. This isn't like the top five things. Like it just started out with this fun idea. And if you are struggling in your marriage, like go get coached, go get help, go do something to really work on that and build this strong foundation. So this was just meant to be lighthearted and fun. And some of it, like the very first tip is actually for somebody who's dating. And then the rest would be within a marriage and whatnot. And so just know that that's like my little caveat is that this is not an all-inclusive list. This is not like the only five tips and or the best five tips. They're just fun five ideas that I thought of. So with that explanation, let's dive in. So this part, the first part I was thinking about is it would be for somebody dating. Or somebody who's like, this wouldn't be so bad if we had been a different age. So the first idea is that there is no perfect age for marriage. And it's interesting because if you read any book of history, I think it's even in the Laura Ingalls series that one of the little girls gets married at 14. And it's not weird. And it's not like a creeper. And it's not, it was like, okay, yeah, like we're 14, we should start getting married. So, we have different ideas about when we should get married and maybe there is a right age, but there is no right age for when you should get married. I got married at 19. My husband was 23 and we have no regrets of getting married young. We absolutely loved it. It worked perfect for us. There are other people who got married in their 30s or even older and they're like, loved it. Absolutely amazing. So it wasn't the age that made it right. So if you were already married and maybe you're like, well, I shouldn't have got married young, because that was such a mistake. Like there was no perfect age. So some people regret getting married young, but some people regret getting married later. So it's just coming to acceptance of that there was no perfect age to get married. I learned what I needed to learn by getting married young. And if you got married older, it was like you learned what you needed to learn. So kind of having peace that there's no perfect age. So if you're dating, getting off of this timeline that like, if I'm not married with a kid by 22, I'm a menace to society, right? But it's like, no, like I'm supposed to get married when I'm supposed to get married. There is no perfect like age. So think about like even this with homeschool, right? That we're off the conveyor belt and we're doing everything differently. Marriage is the same way. Because when we show up in that space of like, I'm supposed to get married by this age, we have a lot of scarcity mindset with it and a lot of fear with it, right? And then we're showing up dating in this like needy way instead of showing up in this, I'm whole, I'm complete. So that was my first tip. Okay. The second one, know your values. So this is interesting because I think if we don't even know our values, a lot of times we just feel off and we feel lost, right? And when we are not living in alignment with our values, like we always just feel off and wrong. So a lot of times you probably will have things that overlap that you and your spouse will overlap with values. So my husband and I both religion, we both value that a lot. Education, our politics are pretty much aligned. Health, the way we value health, different things like that, that we both value. Now, because you are humans and not robots, sometimes you and your spouse will not value the same thing, and there is nothing wrong with that. There is a space to allow your spouse to have different values and to give them respect or space to do those things that they love or really bring joy into their lives, and knowing that, like, that's okay. So if I had an example, now I can't think of what it was. Oh, so just something simple, like this is silly, right? But like, I really value a bed that has been made. And no, it's not the end of the world if it's not made. It's not going to cause any problems or anything. But I love when a bed has been made. And I realize part of that is because when sheets like aren't tucked in, I move so much in the night that if they're not tucked in, I get tangled in them because heaven forbid I hold still. And so like, I just love a bed that has been made. My husband doesn't have that same value. But you want to know what's really cool about him? Many things. But what's cool about him is he knows I value it so much. So he actually goes out of his way, and like 90% of the time, he makes that bed for me because he knows I value it and he loves me and he respects me. And so he does that something nice for me because he knows it's important to me. Now, on the flip side, he loves sports. He values that. The interaction with sports, he's made amazing friendships with sports. He's learned a lot of skills with sports, all the amazing things that came from sports. And he really values that. I do not. And so that doesn't mean I do own a lot of, jerseys or something from different sports teams that he'll get me sometimes, but like, I don't have to become the number one fan, but I do respect him enough that for some of our dates, I've taken him to a game, or I'm happy to go to a game with him. He gets season tickets sometimes to different sporting events, and he'll take me or the kids or just mix different things up because he loves it so much. And I can hold space for him and just respect him that he loves that. So knowing what you do value, and even knowing what your spouse values, and holding space for those types of things. All right, number three. Always date your spouse. So remember when you were dating and you'd get all dolled up and ready for him, or you'd go out of your way to do something nice just to show him you care? Don't let those things die just because you got married. Now, I'm not saying like you have to go put on a really fancy outfit and your heels and lipstick when he comes home, right? Because like, especially if you've had a really long day or you have a new baby or you're pregnant and you're just like, okay, I'm doing my best here. Like, this is what I got. But trying to take care of yourself, right? And in a way, like you were dating and getting ready for the other person or doing fun things like that, but also of the little simple things of doing something nice, just to be nice, like you would when you were dating, right? So sending a really nice text, making their favorite meal or getting them a treat they love or a little snack they like, just to say like, I love and appreciate you. Just little fun and simple things like that. And then actually going on dates. I know when you have a lot of little kids that can be tricky, but I challenge you to get creative. So even if that's putting the kids to bed, taking a baby monitor with you and going on a little walk, or watching a movie together in your room, or playing a game, reading a book together, but getting in that habit so that as your kids do grow up, you are keeping this tradition of like, we go out on this night. And it's so fun because we are really good about going out Friday nights. And it's awesome because my husband's self-employed. So like, people are always trying to get a hold of him no matter what time and no matter what day. And they know Friday night, he won't even take his phone with them. He calls his date phone. And like, only the kids and I have the number, and he takes it just for emergencies, but it like, nothing's on there that nobody else can get a hold of him, because like, this is our time together. So like, I love being able to just keep dating your spouse, because you have to keep that connection and knowing the other person, right? So that you can stay close with them. All right. Number four, this one's important in all things, just to have a better marriage and life. Be nice. Now, I don't know why it is considered socially acceptable to yell at your husband, but I don't like it. And it's not very nice. It's so interesting that like little kids all the time will do something. They'll hit a kid, they'll yell, they'll do something. We're like, be nice. You need to be nice. And then we go and we yell at our spouse. And then like our kids are like, wait, I thought we had to be nice, but like not to dad or whatever. Right. But it's like, just being nice keeps that connection alive with somebody, pointing out what they are doing right, not being critical. Now, 100% disclosure, I'm not perfect at this. I'm so human. I hope, though, that I'm quick to apologize and continue to improve in this area. And like my goal is to just always be nice, but sometimes my humanness totally shows up and I show up in a way that I don't love. But apologize quickly, make a plan to keep doing better. But pointing out things, what they're doing right, telling them words of encouragement, right? Think about this for yourself. If your spouse comes home and is telling you what you're doing amazing in your homeschool, like what is awesome about the house versus holy cow, do you do anything all day? Like this is a crap show. Like it totally tears you down. So when we are negative and critical to people, it tears them down. So just being nice helps us to be able to work together in our relationship. Okay. Now this fifth one, I had saw this post from Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife, and she is, I want to say, a sex therapist. And I should have double checked that, and I'm sorry I didn't, but, I just love this post, and it was about intimacy. Right? So number five is all about intimacy. So this is the post from Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife. It says, is sex an essential part of a happy marriage? She goes on to say that marriage is a sexual commitment and it starts with a sexual attraction. When you marry, you are saying that of all the people I could pattern with, I choose you. I want to share my sexuality with you. When sex isn't happening for whatever reason, people take it personally because the underlying message is that your spouse doesn't want you, and not feeling desired and chosen by your spouse will crumble the foundation of your marriage. So with rare exception, sexuality is fundamental to a happy, thriving marriage. So friends, that is my list as my anniversary is coming up this week. And just even checking in your own marriage. And if like, okay, Meg, some of these don't apply to me. Some of these were doing great, but even thinking about like areas, what could we be doing better? Is there something we need to let go of? Maybe that's being critical, right? Or mocking your husband or making fun of him in front of other people or doing something like that, right? But maybe it's also something you could do. Like, is he affectionate and you could hug him more? Does he love gifts and you could do little trinkets for him or a little treat or something like that, right? But just even thinking about like, is my marriage important? And what am I willing to do to keep it a priority? And life is going to have times and seasons, right? A new baby always throws a little wrench in the plan. Sicknesses, working, traveling for business and different things like that, right? Can totally affect our marriage. But try to remember that your marriage is a priority and treat it as such. And what a beautiful example you are teaching your children of like, this is how to have an amazing relationship right in your own home. You are teaching them some amazing skills that they will be able to take and find healthy, happy relationships in their life too. All right, friends, love you so much. I'll talk to you next time. Hey friend, if you enjoy this podcast, I know you are going to love my book I wrote. It's called 30 Days to Ease into Homeschool. This is for anyone, whether you are new to homeschooling or ready to take your homeschool to the next level. This is for you. It's available to download at www.coachmegthomas.com/shop.